Okay, here we go.
Okay, you ready? Okay, then I'll call it. September 30th, Sheville Select Board meeting to order.
At
5:55. Any additions, deletions, or amendments to the agenda?
Yes, we have two. I need to have some papers signed for the listers, and then Sally and I need to talk about the trustees' terms for the educational trust. So, do you want to help me with what?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what, back in 21 we voted on this, or 91?
We just need to reaffirm that kids go directly from high school into college or trade school.
So when the...
Because it's not, it used to be in the old trust, but when we rewrote the trust, it's not in there anymore.
So
I want to get it, we want to get it into the regulations.
All right, so basically when the trust was started, in the trust it stated that the trust monies are for kids going from high school directly to college. They're not taking a gap year, they're not, it's not for, like Eric decides today he wants to go back for another 12-year degree. And somehow, and that was decided upon by the trustees. And somehow when, in 2021, when we redid the trust documents, it's not listed in there. So we just need to have a motion and then have it voted on here to make sure that it's still there going forward and it's listed in our minutes, that that is the intent of the trustees still. Since
because we do have a bunch of regulations, so we just want to get it into the regulations that it is correct, so that it's very clear.
Yeah.
I will make that motion to add that verbiage in there that they have to go directly from high school to college in order to access that money.
College or trade school.
Yep.
Or trade school.
Or trade school.
Yeah. Because we like trade schools around here.
Yeah, I will second that.
Any opposition? No. Unanimous.
And it was unanimous in Wheel Up as well.
Good.
Holy cow.
That's surprising. But anyway.
So that's it. So you don't have to hang out if you don't want to.
But it was unanimous.
Yeah. So if you don't want to hang out, you don't have to, but you're welcome to stay.
Okay.
I also forgot that Max needed to discuss the issue with the town farm culvert that he had emailed us all about.
Thank you for fixing our road today, Max.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I want, if you want to go ahead, that way you don't have to hang out for the whole meeting either.
You all got I have your email now, so I'll be able to email you or not, Eric. But you got it, and did you read it, and do you have questions?
I would say explain it, because I don't know if Eric got to read it since I was able to forward it to him.
We had damage on a culvert, and it's over 50%. It's to the point where I kind of think, and if I get permission, I'm going to make a turnaround for the town truck up at the top of that hill, so we don't have to cross it this winter. And I need to talk to Sam, probably. I don't know that Sam even stays here during the winter.
He doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't stay.
So we really have no residences beyond there. So if we could turn around where we used to before they upgraded that section.
Where did you used to turn around? Pray tell.
It's hard to tell. Right out at the top of the hill.
There was a driveway that you used to back into and turn around?
No, not
okay,
that
just want to make sure that.
Side. Well, actually, we're going to level out your driveways.
We could do that. Just and, watch out for the mailbox.
Yeah, watch out for the mailbox.
Yeah, I was just down there today and it looks like it's in bad shape.
You look
over, yeah.
They were down to the
creek. It's kind of scary.
Yes. Yeah.
And you can see how it's cracking and moving, and the soil's on the surface.
And you said you had a hydraulic study done?
I have a hydraulic study done. It's typical with the state. They're requiring a 6 foot high, 14 foot wide structure to go in there, but it's typical with this type of funding, hopefully, that we can get, that we have an engineering study. So I have talked with an engineer who is coming Monday or Tuesday, and he's going to give us an estimate. He's somebody that I haven't used before. CCAR is busy, busy, busy. They're all like flat out. He's already suggested metal pipe arch like duck pond. That's a good, it's going to be, it would probably be much like duck pond's structure. If you haven't seen it, you should swim by. It's a nice structure. And it's a nice structure for almost 200,000, less than what we were originally thinking. So,
Is this doing this, is this something that we can use the same grant monies we used for duck pond?
No.
Okay. But there are grant monies with a match?
We don't
probably?
Know.
We don't know yet. Okay.
You probably heard on the news today, because Sutton is in a worse position than we are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The governor has applied for the declaration of disaster. We haven't heard back. They said it could take as long as a month longer. In an effort to continue forward, I am asking you folks if you think it's a good idea to go ahead with the engineering study part over the fall and winter months. Come springtime, hopefully we'll have a declaration and everything will be fine. FEMA will catch up. We talked to Kim Kanarecki and they like this type of thing. They'll be able to catch right up to us and we'll be able to do the project next summer.
What are we thinking the engineering study costs?
I don't know for sure.
What's your way?
What we paid for, what did we pay for? Sea cards.
Oh, I think that
study
was less than five.
Duck pond?
I want to say it was less than 5,000, but I'd have to look it up.
It's not big, big money, but it's very important. Because not only do they engineer the site, they do a much more detailed hydraulic study, and they will basically get it ready to go out to bid. Deal with the contractors. They'll make suggestions as to who they think is capable and not capable. It's money very well worth spent, and it's paid 80%, depending on the funding that you get. FEMA would be 75, plus the state.
What's your guess on the value of the engineering study?
Pardon me?
What's your guess that we have to spend on the engineering study?
Or just shoot, that's just going to look to see what we paid CCAR, but somewhere around $10,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
So basically, it's definitely needed, regardless of whether or not we have emergency funding.
Right. It is, but here's the thing is, we don't know at this point in time. We've got a structure that has failed, and that's going to cost quite a lot of money, and we don't know for certain at this time whether we're going to get funding.
You're right. We don't. And that's a reasonable sum for the necessary study.
Right. So we can do the engineering study while we're waiting to... Kim Kanarecki said she was looking for alternative funding for Sutton already, just as sort of a backup thing. I don't know if that says that she doesn't feel confident we're going to get a declaration or not, but...
I don't feel confident right now of any government grants, period.
So Nate Seacard's engineering study for Duck Pond was $4,400. So I would say this company, because it's not Nate, could be a little more, could be a little less. So I would say we're probably okay if they say this study would be less than $10,000. So with that being said,
do we need a motion to let Max go to work?
To move forward.
With the study, yes.
Then I would move that we authorize up to $10,000 for the necessary study in that COVID.
Second.
And with that being said, you guys should know we did get our first 2024 FEMA payment to the tune of $113,000 on Friday. So there are some funds there above what we normally get for taxes to cover that.
That's good news.
And here's the other thing. With the Bridge and Culvert Program.
What?
With the state's Bridge and Culvert Program, that's what did Duck Pond. Because we were messing around with FEMA on Dunn Mountain. And that's still not done.
Which is why I'd like, as I say, I'm very much in favor of going ahead with the study, getting it all ready to go. Then you're there.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a line formed, you're at the end.
And this is a way better situation for FEMA to pay for. But the other thing is that I talked a long time with Logan about this. Logan Perrin for the state. And each town, of the 30 towns that Logan deals with, gets a certain amount of that money. You know, if one year we get a whole bunch, probably the next year we won't. And they have a pecking order, I guess if you will. And we are sixth in line next year. So if FEMA just
says,
we're higher at the listing case.
I would go with that structure and put the mountain on hold.
Yeah.
Apply for both of them,
mm-hmm.
but make that one the priority.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty confident that one way or another we're going to get funding for this, but I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that we're out on a limb, and I'm not comfortable being out there, but you know, Logan said fix it and we'll worry about the funding later. I said. It's
easy to say when you're not
not the one funding it.
But I guess that says a little bit about his confidence that there will be something.
So yeah, I'd rather be prepared than not, so.
We should be.
Right.
Yep. And I was going to say to Sally about the material up at the cemetery.
If you know the number, she'll know exactly what you're
doing. Happy with that? You think you're enough
there? I haven't been down there yet, but yes.
You've got material down there?
We have to pay for it. If we just have to pay for it, we might just have to pay for it.
Yes, there is. Okay. Yeah. And it's good stuff, good clean stuff.
I'll let him know.
With that being said, is if I have to, I can hold funds over from this year to help cover it next year without having to nail taxpayers for that funding.
They thought, sure, I was.
Because I know we're going to have a surplus this year, so I can hold that surplus through to next year to help cover it.
You got to watch it in a minute, I tell you.
Thanks, Max.
If there's nothing else, I'll go home and eat.
Thank you.
Ash, you're good to go. I talked to Kurt. We did a whole bunch of measuring. He's got information, and he would like to get with you at some point.
He needs to email me. And come
email
up and
you, and then,
okay. So, okay. Sounds good.
Have a good night, all.
Have a good night.
You as well.
Okay, so let's do this Lister thing real quick because this isn't a big deal. So, we had two parcels in Nimrick that we made a mistake entering into Nimrick. So, we had to go back and correct it. And because it's after the grand list has already been lodged, in order for Nimrick to correct it, we have to sign a form. It's an errors and omissions form so that they can go back and correct it.
Yeah.
So each of you has to sign 1, 2, 3, and then I will sign and print and leave it for Vanessa to deal with when she comes in tomorrow.
What was the error?
So Velco had inventory error, so they have to notify us what their inventory is that they have here in Sheffield, and there was an error getting it into the system, so it's reading as zero when it should be 47,000 and some change. And then Matt Gilman, Farmer Matt Gilman, gave the Vermont River Conservancy an easement. For a portion along the river on the backside of that farm. And when we entered it, we entered it as if it was deeded to them. instead of an easement. So we need to switch it, because right now it shows that the Conservancy owns the property instead of Matt. So we just have to go back in and fix it, and thus we have to have the select board sign off on that.
Okay.
But Vanessa said it'll be, it's easy to fix, it just has to have a signature before Nimrick allows her to fix it. So that brings us to the actual agenda. So first we have another simple one. We have the certificate of substantial completion for the building. We have the fire inspection, which is good. So that gives us a certificate of occupancy, but we have a change order, and I can go through this because there's like eight preliminary change orders that are included in this. So the MEI thing for the overhead doors came in under budget, so we're getting a $4,800 credit. So that's the initial change order, or preliminary. There was a overage on the glass for the windows for the fire rating to the tune of $2,000.
Ooh.
Yeah. We have a change order for MEI to the tune of $3,900 for that router for the Wi-Fi, for all the internet that all the, like, everything in the building has to be connected to so that everything is Wi-Fi'd. So that's $3,900. The labor, materials, and equipment for the air compressor that wasn't in the contract, that's $13,300.
Does that include the piping too, or just the compressor?
No, that doesn't include the compressor. It includes all the work, but not the compressor.
Okay.
We have another one for Mike's Electric for installing the emergency shutoffs for the boiler room, because apparently that wasn't included in the contract. That's $787. I've been so used to when it comes to spades talking in thousands. There is a $918 change for adding the switch for the fuel tank that's outside, so they can turn the fuel tank off so people can't just pull up and fill up whatever they want. There is another change order for the glass, for the glazing on the glass, which is makes us code compliant. That's $6,000.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I thought that James had talked to Space about that, and that that should be charged to us.
I believe that they did talk about that, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how that came to be, because I knew there was an issue with the glass.
Yeah.
Not the delay, like, the delay in getting it to us, that was more the issue I knew, is that James was kind of like, well, obviously if you're ordering the door, you have to order the glass at the same time.
Right, and it's got to be fire-rated glass.
Right. There is a change order because they needed necessary insulation for the boiler breach. That's $4,000.
That wouldn't be the device that monitors the effluent from the boiler.
No.
It's coming.
Stand by.
Okay.
Wait until at the end to ask all your questions. This one is for a CONO2 CXS sensor for the garage stack to the tune of $4,000.
Wow. Is that labor and the device?
Yes, that's materials, okay. Labor, all that.
In place.
All of these are...
What?
The device is probably around $300.
Yeah.
That's all of these are labor materials, okay. All that.
I appreciate your getting me that, though.
So
I was worried.
This is a revised order for an order we already approved that's coming in under budget to the tune of $7,200.
Mm-hmm.
So, the whole change order, the whole change order comes out to $14,600 with the two credits and then all of the like preliminary, all the other ones added together. The total change is $14,686.
And Colico has gone through all of them.
Yes, this was the stuff that we had the preliminary okay at the construction meeting.
With the exception of the glass glazing, I don't remember that coming up.
No.
That I don't remember.
There was a change order, original change order on the glass for like $5,000. And James says, no way.
Right,
and
I don't.
And now it's $6,000.
And now, you know, well, I don't know if it's the same.
Well, there's two orders for the glass. There's two different change orders for the glass. So the first one is for, it says this proposal is for the balance of the W2 glass. There was an allowance of $1,000, and then please see the invoice for the glass. And it came out to $2,086. That is already less the $1,000.
I would suggest that we consider removing all the glass change orders from that package and get James Cohen here to talk to us.
Are we talking about the window to the office and the door window?
So the door to from the outside to the office already has the glass in it.
Already has.
The other two exterior doors that have glass do not have glass yet.
Oh.
We're still waiting on them.
There's a window though between the office and the garage.
Yes.
That's a window, yes. That's not in the door. This is the
door.
Okay,
so that's probably got a fire.
Yeah, that's got
it does.
Ready.
Yeah.
It does.
Okay. It's still kind of expensive.
It's got
to
So the W2 window, that's the window from the office to the garage. Do you remember which windows you were talking about? That's why there's two, because the second one is the door glass.
I don't think we talked about the windows at all.
The door, you mean?
The door glass from outside, the two pieces that aren't installed yet.
Oh.
That are exterior, those two narrow ones on the exterior doors.
Yeah, I don't recall that being one of the orders they discussed at all at the construction meeting.
Yeah, I don't either.
So my thing is we can okay this, we can sign off on it and reject PCO number 9. Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe if I could read. We would not have these questions.
That would be helpful.
James already rejected it.
Okay.
It literally says right here, rejected.
Okay.
But it's not on the main one.
Gotcha.
Where normally it's all crossed off and it literally says rejected across the PCA.
Okay.
So it's already rejected.
Put a piece of sheet metal over there and then go put it separately.
So this, I need Walter's signature on this lovely and very important looking signature page.
Oh no.
Isn't that wonderful?
Blank?
Basically.
This page left intentionally blank.
So you sold your house.
Yeah. That's it.
Luckily there's some little fine print at the bottom of the page, so we can't just use it for whatever we want.
There you go.
Okay. So that gets those two, and then we're up to the park and ride.
Okay.
Let's do the other easy one.
What other easy one?
Corby.
Oh, that's not easy.
Well, that's not.
Park and ride is pretty easy.
Okay, go ahead, park and ride.
Okay, several years ago, we got a $5,000 grant from V-Trans for a park and ride. We pay $1,000 and the state gives us $4,000. And I don't think we've ever billed for that. And we've been getting dunning from our favorite lady, Tina Bolt, about when are you going to finish this stupid thing? It's finished. And she sent us the list of things that she needs to close it out. And I think you've seen that list. The one thing that we can We need to do tonight is we need a little sign that says Sheffield Town Park and Ride, and we need a bag of lime to lime out 10 places, and I'm suggesting, this is not locked in stone or anything, putting them against the new retaining wall over here at the building.
I mean, it would make sense for everybody parks.
Yeah, that's where I told her it was, but it could go anywhere out there in the gravel. So I need a sign, and I need somebody to lime out those things. And once the sign and the lime is in place, then I'll take a picture of it, and that'll take care of that requirement.
Okay.
Works for me.
We can order the sign.
Make that motion to order the sign and lime.
Exactly. Yeah, done.
Okay. Act 181 update. Carolyn and I and the rest of the Planning Commission had a meeting with NVDA's experts on Act 181. Carolyn?
What is Act 181's title?
What is it?
I don't know off the top of my head.
I don't either. No. It basically was passed by the legislature last year and is now a requirement of every town to be in compliance with.
What is it?
Well, in general, it published a list of responsibilities by town on the number of houses they need to find room for in an appropriate location between now and some future date. You've probably read articles about that in the newspaper. The legislature put these maps together for the entire state. The color coding is that if it's purple, that's where they think you need to be siting houses.
Waste of money.
The light yellow is where your expansion would be. The darker yellow is something else. The light green is agriculture and I think residential, and the dark green is conservation forestry. I don't know how they did this, but it didn't have a lot of thought behind it. But if you read the newspapers, we know that several of the large towns have been given numbers on the number of new homes that they need to find room for in their purple areas. And Sutton was pissed off. Have I got that right?
Yeah, but that's not us. It doesn't affect us.
Well, I'm not there yet.
Yeah, I know, but he's giving me a look. And I'm like, it's not us.
Okay. I didn't catch the look. So the papers talked about Lindenville, St. Jay, and Sutton, and I think Burke complaining about the numbers that they've gotten from the state on what they're expected to find room for in their town. We did not get a number from the team that came to us from NVDA. We got this purple area, which doesn't entirely make a lot of sense based on our town plan village center that we want to do. They left out some areas. They've grossly exaggerated the floodplain. And in general, we think there ought to be less yellow and a little bit more purple and appropriate locations where there are already houses. All within the scope of that being the limit, plus a little bit on this side to catch the rest of the people in that street. We want to send a letter to that effect to NVDA saying you need to modify to be in compliance with our plan, and you need to hold off on finalizing it until we get floodplain mapping. Because it makes no sense for them to tell us this crap.
No, none.
No.
We don't have floodplain
mapping. No sense at all.
And I want to put more pressure on them to start knocking on that door.
That's the thing to do.
When they came, the purpose was, in fact, to get our feedback on this map. So this is a work in progress. It's not finalized. So they are receptive to our feedback. I think there are two things that are consistent with what we talked about in the town plan, as well as sort of the spirit of the community, which is, one, we're not getting those numbers. We don't meet their minimum requirement for them to even bother with establishing those numbers for us.
We saw ourselves as a forest community.
Yeah, and then the second thing is, we had talked to you guys, might remember hearing, in addition to the Village Trust Initiative that we're currently working on, there's the Village Center Plan, which was a government program that you had to apply for, that you no longer will have to apply for, because these maps, presumably this map, will qualify us for all of the aid that we were talking about getting as a result of applying for that Village Center designation. So that just now is automatically coming out of this process. So.
Okay. You think money's going to flow into this?
What it does is that if they go along with our requirement, and this was a friendly meeting with them, they really don't know very much about this either. That's a kind of a work in progress in the state. But what it will do is it will make us eligible for grants that we're not presently eligible for.
Yeah, yeah. But we still have to do work to get the grants.
It unlocks doors for us.
But it's not saying that, like, we need to actively seek out people to build houses.
Oh, no, we didn't get that message the way the other communities did. We didn't get anything like that at all.
That's totally ridiculous.
Well, and actually,
ridiculous.
For us, I mean, as part of the plan, we talked about in sort of a longer-term horizon, you know, the fact that we're within reach of NVRH and places that we have the school. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it would make a very nice spot for families to locate that we're going to be employed someplace else, but we don't want to be forced to do that. We want that to be more of a...
And how do you force a town to force people to live here?
And are you going to, like, pay for those?
Yeah. Like, build a house in Sheffield.
Erica, you're asking very appropriate and embarrassing questions that nobody has an answer for.
Right.
But the property owner has to be willing to sell it.
Yeah.
Right.
Or build on the property.
Oh, we're already
recorded,
you guys.
The legislature is making...
Every jurisdiction.
When we get to Jason Corbyn, you'll hear about how more ridiculous the legislature has been in the last 2 years.
Has failed.
My decision that much easier.
This is just another clone to Act 250, yada yada yada.
Yeah.
Where they've attempted to legislate zoning, of a kind.
This is trying to legislate statewide zoning. It ain't going to work. Even if they could do it, people aren't going to step up and come in and build thousands of units.
Not at the prices we're having to pay for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the zone and the problems we have with permitting that we already have.
Of course.
There are certain aspects of this for some communities that will make it easier because they are, if they go with a color coding, they're exempted from a lot of Act 250 requirements for some of the levels.
I wouldn't hold my breath.
Well, right now we are looking good.
Sign up for the lawsuits.
Well, that's according to their government website. Act 181 is an act relating to community resilience and biodiversity protection through land use.
Isn't that wonderful?
So there you have it. Now we all know what's going
on. Still have a group hug now, okay?
Yeah. Kumbaya.
Okay.
Okay, do you want to move on to the sidewalk?
Let's go.
Yes, ma'am. I hope that you've had a chance to peruse the
49 pages.
Thanks for that, by the way.
You're welcome.
I have slept quite well this week. Thank
good.
You.
Well, this is good toilet reading. Come on. In going through their letter, they have pretty accurately described what we're asking them to do. They have an estimate that's within a few pennies of the grant total.
Huh.
It must have taken them several days to work the math out on the hours to come out within pennies of the maximum of the grant. Our responsibility on that $60,000 grant is $12,000. Of the $12,000, about half of that is what I think will end up being a separate contract with the University of Vermont, very similar in both write-up and content to the one we had before for the park and ride. And lo and behold, we're going to be dealing with Jorge. Did you see that? He's
Wait.
Now he was a PhD candidate on the first one.
And now
he's
a
PhD. He's a
PhD. And the assistant chair or the deputy chair.
I have.
I didn't see that. Yeah. Deputy chair. But he's a good guy. He's
he
a
is
good
a good guy.
Guy.
He's
I
nice.
I got some questions.
Yes.
Go for
I
it.
I read this thing.
Okay.
You know, my lack of enthusiasm. I saw nothing in there that limits the expenditure to $12,000. Nothing. You sign it, and...
I'd say you can write that in.
Huh?
I'd write it in.
Well, I their proposal needs to say it.
Okay.
Not us.
You're talking about the proposal from the AE now.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Yeah,
I'll go back to him with that. That's a good one.
Because the long and the short is if for some reason this grant falls through, we'll be on the hook for all 60.
Right.
Yeah.
V-Trans wouldn't have awarded this if they didn't have the money, I think. But that's another thing I can ask. Do you have the money in hand?
Because that's the big thing. Especially like we've talked about grants, like not not being awarded anymore or being reduced or cut back, that's just, you know, obviously a big area of concern. You know, if we can guarantee that that $48,000 is coming in.
No, no, these are two good items. I'll put that in a letter back to them and say, you need to revise that to reflect these two things. Not a problem.
Okay.
Good idea.
Perfect.
Good, done.
If they do that, can I get you to sign off on that, that one sheet? I'm gonna be the guy approving anything that happens, but you're the guy that would be signing.
Let's see it in front of us with an approval line, right, with a signature.
If I can get that.
See where it goes.
Can I get you guys via email to go along with it, so we don't have to wait another one?
I think we could do it via email. I don't.
Probably do that email, but what's 30 days?
Especially this is gonna be a 5-year project.
Well, they submitted a fairly aggressive schedule. I didn't wanna blow it out of the water right away. And God only knows what your mood be in another 30 days too.
So. Oh, calm down.
I'll get that and I'll pass it along via email and we'll see where we are. Did he have any questions on what direction we're headed with this, on anything else on the level? The big problem is going to be, are there any problems? You saw that there's a series of events that will occur. I do need to talk about that a little bit. We have a project kickoff meeting, meet with the town of Sheffield, VTrans assistant, including VTrans project manager, bicycle pets, and there needs to be a representative of the select board there. Do you guys have a preference for when that meeting would occur? After in an evening environment, maybe? A weekend? I'm looking for
that. I guess I would say it depends on who wants to be in charge of this.
It all depends on their amendment to that proposal.
Assuming we get the amendment.
Assuming you get an amendment and we decide to approve it.
When do you want to have the meeting? Weekday, weekend, night, day?
I know probably both Walt and I are good with weekdays.
We can do it.
Yeah, I can't do it.
I know you're out, but.
Want to do it like at 6 p.m. on a weekday?
Either way, I mean, I don't necessarily have to be there.
How about 3 o'clock in the afternoon so we don't ruin our evening?
Well, and then that way too, the office is open.
And then you have access if they have questions about it.
I can be here at 3.
So.
I can be here at 3.
Would you, maybe a Friday? Would that be
Even better?
Then you can get out early.
Friday's at
3. I get out at 3 anyway, so that's okay.
I sense people are trying to get out of work.
I will say it'll depend on farmer's market though.
Correct.
Okay, so after that, then there's a local concerns meeting that they would handle. And I'm assuming, I need some more guidance. If we're going to have the residents along that street show up in a meeting, that would probably be on a weekday evening.
Or a weekend, yeah.
Or a weekend. Mm-hmm. Where would we likely get more response?
I think a weekday evening.
Probably, because people won't want to ruin their weekend.
That would be my guess. That would be, if I was, I would. That would be my preference.
Yeah.
Same.
Everything else is just going to take time. It's pretty straightforward. VTrans will undoubtedly make things more difficult because there's a bridge involved across the river.
Mm-hmm.
I was in pretty tight agreement with this lady on everything, but she said the state has a minimum width of bridge that is way beyond what we really need there, like maybe 10 feet. I'd like to see something the width of the sidewalk. But your comment was, well, they don't make them that narrow, and I find that very difficult to believe. And I'm going to try and get some information from Contact and find out what they'll do, because it would be a spiffy little bridge that would fit right alongside the existing bridge. But that's a very bad area to be putting anything in anyway, so more to follow. And that'll be something that VTrans won't like, because they want something that's incredibly over-designed and way too large. As an example, the LBRT bridges went in at a price that was roughly double what the bridge should have cost had a local community done the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
They have this huge, incredible list of things that they want to do that make it a lot more expensive. Okay, we're gonna be twiddling our thumbs a lot, but even their schedule, if it goes very much longer than they say, wouldn't be over a year and a half, in duration, so you might see some progress. We'll get a nice map of the Route 122 area too, all of that stuff that's in there. Okay.
Yep.
That's what I needed to know. We'll go from there.
You got it.
And then on to our favorite topic in this office. Okay, so
yeah,
we know the background about Jason Corby. House sold at tax sale.
Yep.
We had to file an affidavit and, in essence, sue him to get him out of the house because now the town owns it through the tax sale process. He retained counsel through legal aid, and we, through the whole process, we found out two things. Only one of them affects this situation, but apparently 2 weeks after the tax sale that sold Jason Corby's unlanded mobile home, the state legislature passed Act 106, which in essence states that the delinquent tax collector 90 to 120 days out from the end of the redemption period, which is that year after tax sale, has to send them a letter to say, hey, just want to let you know we're coming up on the end of this, so if you want to redeem it as an adult who has responsibilities and needs to handle your own life, we're just reminding you that we're coming up on the end of that. And of course, we did not know about this act being passed, so we did not mail the letter. So currently we have an offer from the defense regarding this whole situation with the trailer and us owning it and Jason Corby leaving the trailer. This is the offer, and I quote, the town will transfer the property back to Mr. Corby within 7 days of settlement, so settlement of this agreement. Mr. Corby gets 120 days from the date of settlement to redeem by paying $2,012.60, that's the tax debt plus 8 months of interest, and then the town will pay Vermont Legal Aid's attorneys calculated at 13 and a half hours at $300 an hour for the undersigned counsel for a total of $4,050, and both parties will sign a mutual release. Now, this next part, I have a question into Hannah and Carolyn regarding this because it doesn't give enough information. But it says, as you're aware, if we should proceed with litigation, the town will not only have to continue to pay its own attorney's fees, but pursuant to the fee shifting under Section 1983, but no title, so I can't read the law on this, will also be required to pay Vermont Legal Aid's attorney's fees. It appears to be in both parties' interest to settle this now before the accrual of further time and fees. So that's their offer. Hannah and I talked after the court hearing last week, and because of this issue with the notice, which I'm also going to talk with Hannah and Carolyn about, because we have talked with Terry Thompson, who is Jason's aunt and lives in the house that is on that property, and Jason's mobile home is an unlanded mobile home on Terry's property. And she apparently stated that she repeatedly reminded Jason Corby of the end of the redemption period, which he did not redeem during that period. So I want to talk to Hannah and Carolyn about that. But what Hannah and I talked about was that maybe a settlement would be in order, but that we would retain ownership until he pays all of the back taxes, which are now not just the 5 years that went through the tax sale, but now another 2 years for 2024 and 25. He would pay 12% in interest, which would be all 12 months of the redemption year. And I don't know if we cannot pay the legal aid fees. It sounds like there's some state law according to this section 1983.
We'll figure that one out.
But I gotta look more into that. I mean, I would say if he would come current.
Make it simple.
Right.
We keep the deed. he gets 120 days to pay 100% of all the money he owes to the town, which includes interest and penalties.
Mm-hmm.
And if he does that within 120 days, I'd give him the deed back.
Right.
Period. End
of so state. Can
and,
we...
And I would deny the legal aid $300 an hour unless the law says we have
we
to.
We have
do
to,
it.
Right.
And if the law says we have to do it, we do it, get rid of it.
Right. So... So we'll say that the motion would state that we decline this offer.
Yes.
That the counter offer would be we keep the deed until paid.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then how about I learn how to write?
He pays 100%.
But I also think he should have to pay all of the taxes instead of,
well, that's what he said.
And I mean,
that's
so
that's no,
the
5 years
always. Of the taxes and then 24 and 25.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
All 7 years with 12% interest.
With
so which would be the 12 months of the
interest
rent.
And fees.
Appropriate interest and fees. If he does that, we'll give him the deed back.
What you just said sounds like what he would have was supposed to do.
Yes.
To begin
just
with.
Just based
to begin
on
with.
State law right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
his involvement of the lawyer was didn't help the situation at all.
Not at all.
Right.
Well, that's his responsibility.
And we would like to think so.
That's what we've been talking about for the last year.
So we'll decline to pay it unless state law requires it.
Absolutely.
That's all.
That's sad.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't pay?
It should be ours.
So
then if he doesn't pay, so and then this is going to be the last line, is that if he doesn't pay in 120 days, on the 121st day,
right.
we can remove the trailer.
Yep.
And charge him for
it. Right.
Where is this trailer?
It's up 122.
You can't see it from the road. You'd have to stop to be able to look up the driveway to see it.
That's where Karen used to live?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay,
so that is, do we want a motion and second so we have it officially officialness?
I am motion, whatever you just wrote down.
I
the
second.
Counter,
the
ca- check.
Done.
We motioned as written.
Cindy
we motioned
as written.
Whatever Erica wrote down.
Exactly.
And people laugh at me during town meeting when I'm like, what he just said,
right.
That's what I'm motioning.
Done.
Okay.
So since we have... our planning commission here, I did have a question that obviously it came up with the village center, talking about the town hall and things. I know we have kind of a couple of different thoughts in town about where we're going forward with town offices, town halls, etc., community centers and whatnot. So have we looked into the possibilities associated with the current town hall, such as either remodeling and turning it into the new town offices and town hall space versus building a brand new community center here? Because obviously, I'm trying to give it a lot of thought, but given the fact that we've talked about a new center here, obviously it's going to be a high cost, and obviously the town hall has issues, but if we're able to do a full remodel on it, are we going to be saving money, expending more money?
Meeting, especially with the center designation, keeping
right.
the building actually in the center.
Well, actually,
right.
the center drawing that we showed you has the old town hall in it.
That's
right.
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So if we,
which is
saying.
Great because some of the grants that I think, and it's not the Planning Commission, it's a separate.
For the Vermont Trust Initiative, that's a community
right.
driven initiative.
And that,
I'm sorry,
you grants.
And that grant application was submitted on the 25th.
Now, could that
so,
grant process be used to renovate the
yes.
building?
Yeah.
So that's the
could
whole...
Could we apply
yeah.
for more, like a different MRT for, you know, like
yeah.
heating systems and
you
things
can
like
always,
that?
You can always apply for grants. The question,
okay.
more succinctly, is there any more grant money left?
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
But so,
and I suspect not.
So the Vermont Trust Initiative
right.
actually already has that grant money in
yeah.
So they
but,
have
but don't
$10
get me wrong,
dollars that they got from the senator
yep.
that's already in hand. And they also have people that are willing to lend their expertise at a very discounted rate to do assessments or help with, you know, whatever electrical, the elevator, whatever it is. And they are very excited about the fact that it has good handicap access, that it has an elevator. As far as your application for community center and town offices, I had not heard that proposal before with regard to town office, but we definitely were thinking along the lines of the town hall being used as the community center.
Right.
I feel as though we're still in the initial part of getting the building assessed and finding out what we'd be getting into, and during that process can gather more feedback about the future uses for the building, but it's definitely intended to be some sort of center.
Because we've talked about it, and that if we went that route, renovating that building, we could make it two floors. So like the town office would be upstairs, and you would still have the entire town hall that we currently use for meetings and events, we rent out to people for birthdays and that, and food shelf would still have that space.
I would really caution you on spending too much money on that building. Interestingly enough, we've got a full assessment of the building already from Merck. They've outlined what the cost would be to at least bring it up to an energy standard. Structurally, I don't think there's anything really wrong with the building. It needs a new roof, from what I understand. But putting a second floor in there adds a whole myriad of other questions and would require awful lot. Let me finish here. Which doesn't really concern me, because anything is possible if you've got the money. I have seen so many mistakes in this state where people want to plow money into an old building because it's kind of neat, has some historical value, and it's like, we don't want to sacrifice it. This building is best left to small grants where you can nickel and dime your way to what you want to accomplish without wasting a lot of money on something that probably isn't worth it. That's something you got to keep in mind. That's the devil's advocate, but that's the truth.
We're not far enough into it to really make that assessment with numbers.
Here's the scary thing. Carolyn gave them a copy of the Merck assessment, and they weren't happy with that. They want an architect to bless it.
Remember, they're going to want zero risk.
I know.
And all that does is add money.
And so I gave
them $375 because they have somebody that'll come in and do it and that's our match to what they're going to pay. It's not anything significant.
There's nothing that architect is going to provide us that we don't already have. To me, it's just a way to give architects more money, which I'm definitely against.
No, I appreciate that. Like I said, I was just curious.
I gave him an outline. I said, look, if you're going to press this issue, here's what we want from that architect. And I said, this is all the stuff he's got to do. He's not going to do that for that amount of money.
No.
So we're going to wait. Have you gotten a response back from that yet?
I haven't seen that yet.
I'm going to be the guy to hate. Because it's like...
Well, that's easy.
we want to play their game to a certain extent, but there's no sense in wasting money on it. The village, what is it called again? The
Trust Initiative.
The Trust Initiative is a very, very worthwhile thing to get into because it's another key to unlock. But they got to be willing to play the game in some rational manner, and I don't think they are. Now with that first requirement for an architect.
And the way this state is financially right now is not good.
No.
And it's going to get worse before it gets better. Well, it isn't going to get better. It's just going to get worse.
We have 3.5 years more of the Trump administration, and they're going to do everything in their power to make life miserable.
Isn't that? It's we got 3.5 years more of our legislature. And that legislature, this is the way, more money on useless things.
Like laws saying that I have to mail somebody who's been delinquent for 6 years a letter to remind them need to redeem their property.
Got the forced towns and
building. They're not in the business of saving money.
No.
They're in the business of spending money.
Yeah.
They don't get anything. Nobody gets a kudos for rehabbing a building.
No.
They get kudos for building a new one.
Okay, so here's some kudos that we can dish out. The delinquent tax number is...
Fanfare, ruffles and flourishes.
$580.81.
That's good job, ladies.
That is absolutely amazing.
Considering what it's been in the past few years, it's a pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
So I can't remember right now. I have to look it up what we were last year, but I think we're not much. If we are lower, it's only maybe a few hundred dollars.
Yeah. I thought we were about 13,000 last year.
I was going to say,
Well, by the time tax bills were due, we were under 10. I just can't remember how far.
But still, that's a huge compliment.
So we have 8 parcels.
It's a phenomenal accomplishment.
The second part of this tax situation that the legislature has clearly wasted time and money on is that now in 2025 they passed a law that you cannot tax sale anything that owes less than $1,500.
Yeah.
That's not right.
Well, correct. No, not. Because the only recourse a town has to get its tax money is a tax sale because 95% of people who get the letter from the attorney pay it before the sale.
Well, that law would be fine if the legislature would stand up and say, we'll pay that difference.
You right. don't think that our state is out of control financially?
Yes.
That's a pretty
good... So, I mean, if you put it right down to it, our budget that we have to raise, like this year for 2025, we had to raise $509,000. If everybody in town decided that they were going to save $1,499 delinquent, we couldn't pay payroll. We couldn't pay our bills because we couldn't pay the education payment. We couldn't pay our bills. We wouldn't have enough
like
money.
These folks right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's 6 figures in delinquent taxes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because,
line to make up for it. Line to rest of the taxpayers in town. To pay for the delinquency of...
So they can pay their bills.
A relative handful.
I forgot to ask the question on the sidewalk, and it's more pertaining to the Planning Commission's budget. We have been remiss in past years in not giving you guys a clue as to what monies we're going to need year to year.
Yeah, why don't we talk about it in December when I start making
Well,
budget.
I'm guessing, is the $12,000 bogey for this thing one of those things you'd like to see us... ask for, because we're not going to need very much of that this year, but we're going to need the rest of it next year.
Yeah, so let's get it in the budget so
get
it can go.
When do you want it from us by?
I usually do the budget around Christmas, first week of first week of January.
Yeah. That's assuming you can get there.
And I will say, we still haven't got the money from the state for that NVDA planning.
So the final
we're waiting
approval.
For the NVDA to approve the plan.
The NVDA is going to approve this plan, the town plan, on the 9th of October. And as soon as I have the minutes on that, I give it to you and you can finish off the paperwork and we'll get the money.
Okay. Great.
I also want $375 to match the fee to do the architectural study on the town hall.
Well, let's put it in the budget.
Okay. I'll be back in December. $12,000. $375. Who's the better deal?
You need to get
$375 is the better deal. But I think we
What's
next?
Bring something up for the board? Oh, okay.
I gave you a
That's
like,
it.
Like
he's just here for the entertainment.
Sally's got some public comment.
Got a question?
I just don't want to think so. But I kind of tabled it because until we find out whether we're going to move forward
with the town hall,
we don't know.
Vermont, like our status of our grant.
Hey,
Al, question. Floodplain, town hall.
Yeah.
Do we know anything about
it? No, we don't.
Where is it?
It's probably, I'm guessing that. The floodplain won't be on the footprint of the actual building, but the criteria for what you're thinking about, which would be would the average person who owns that property be able to get insurance on it? It would depend on the height of the water on the floodplain mapping. There has to be an 18-inch delta between high water and the bottom of the foundation. Mm. And we won't know that till we get the floodplain mapping.
Which is done by the state.
No, it was done by the U.S. Geological Survey.
Right. And they haven't done it.
Yes, well, they're in the process of doing it, and they're now 3 years behind.
3 years behind
and the process. And they're in no hurry to get it done.
No.
Right.
Well, what's going on is that they're now subcontracting to engineering firms to do it, but every time somebody jerks their chain, they put their priorities on whoever yelled the loudest. You know, we've had floods in the state all over the place. They may have redirected that team from, instead of doing the Passumpsic watershed, to doing maybe the Lamoille or something like that. We don't know, but I'm about ready to write Becca Bale and Staffer and say, you know that help you gave us with the IRS? Well, how about give us a help with the U.S. Geological Survey?
Yeah.
See what they can do, because we haven't pressed that button yet, but I'm getting closer. What we did do is we asked NVDA to put some pressure on, and we got a...
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they're afraid. They don't want to rock the boat.
None of them do.
No.
I sent a thing to you, Walter.
Huh?
I sent a thing to you from FEMA about this, I feel like.
Yeah,
I think I sent it yesterday. The FEMA work map meeting invitation to Sheffield in the Passumpsic watershed.
When is that?
I'll forward it to you as well then.
Yeah. Do you have a date on it?
Yeah, I sent it to you.
I don't remember getting it, but anyway.
Can you give me a skinny what the date is?
Stand by.
Please hold.
Please hold. I'm sending it to you now.
Well, no, I mean, it would be nice so I can find out if I'm going to be here or not.
Well, that's why I'm going to email it to you, so you can read the whole thing.
And then you'll
be here. He's so excited. He can't wait.
Well, I'm going to be away a lot this fall, so.
September 30, 9 a.m.
Good. Oh, not good.
Well, read the thing.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be in the Azure.
There's a lot of... links for
from your computer.
You've been to the
there's a lot of once. Links.
It won't have changed.
Yeah.
I'll send it to you.
Yeah, there's a lot of links for things where you can log in and something. I don't know.
Well, maybe they're showing us the drafts, and if they've got the drafts, that's all we really need.
I believe that is what it is.
Yeah. So I emailed it to you. I emailed it to you again, and I emailed it to you, Crazy.
But I was supposed to be on their mailing list, and the question is, why didn't they give it to me?
Don't worry about it. These two are reading.
I'm not, because I can't.
Nobody's reading.
Because I can't go. So.
Okay.
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 We done?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Yeah. 6:56.